Welcome, and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the March 2nd, 2025 service at Plymouth, Transfiguration Sunday. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
Disciples of Christ, today your Savior calls you to come up the mountain and pray. Will you come?
We will come up the mountain.
Will you follow when Christ's glory overwhelms your senses and you sit astounded at God's greatness?
We will follow wherever Jesus leads us.
Will you follow when Jesus won't let you stay on the mountaintop, insisting that you return to the valley where people are hurting and in need of good news?
We will go wherever Jesus leads us.
Disciples, come. Let us worship God, whose glory shines on the mountaintop and in the eyes of our neighbors.
Come, let us worship God, whose glory shimmers all around us, even now.
Next is the hymn, Immortal, Invisible God, Only Wise.
Yeah.
reading this morning is from Psalm 99. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. God rules. On your toes, everybody. God rules from the heavenly throne. Take notice. God looms majestic in Zion. The Lord towers in splendor over all the big names. Great and terrible your beauty. Let everyone praise you. Holy, yes, holy. Strong King, lover of justice, you laid things out fair and square. You set down the foundations in Jacob, foundation stones of just and right ways. Honor God, our God. Worship God's rule. Holy, yes, holy. Moses and Aaron were God's priests. Samuel among those who prayed to Almighty God. They prayed to God and God answered them. The Lord spoke from the pillar of cloud and they did what God said. They kept the law God gave them. And then God, our God, answered them. But you were never soft on their sins. Lift high the Lord, our God. Worship at God's holy mountain. Holy, yes, holy is God, our God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Next is the hymn, Thy Word.
Our gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. I'm reading from the version of the translation of the Message, just as Pat did, and you'll notice if you're following along in your Pew Bible, in this case for Luke, it's page 69 in Pew Bible, you'll notice a difference and probably even a freshness to the way it's translated when Eugene Peterson has tried to make it as relevant and timely as he can be as he translating sometimes very worn out phrases into a fresh translation for us. Here's Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. About 8 days after healing Jairus' daughter and saying, "Tell no one," Jesus climbed the mountain to pray. With him he took Peter, John, and James along, and while he was in prayer, the appearance of his face and clothes changed. His clothes became blinding white. At once, two men were talking with him. They turned out to be Moses and Elijah. What a glorious appearance they made. They talked over his journey, the one Jesus was about to complete in Jerusalem. Meanwhile, Peter and those with him were slumped over in sleep, and when they came to, rubbing their eyes, they saw Jesus in his glory and two men standing with him. When Moses and Elijah had left, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, this is a great moment. Let's build three memorials, three tents, right here, and let's stay. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He said this, he blurted out without thinking. While he was babbling on about this, a light radiant cloud enveloped them. They found themselves buried in the cloud, and they became deeply aware that God was there in their midst. Then there was a voice out of the cloud. "This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him." When the sound of the voice died away, they saw that Jesus was there alone. They were speechless. They continued being speechless and said not one thing to anyone during those days of what they had seen. This is the word of the Lord. Transfiguration Sunday. Up on a mountain, Jesus is changed. And in those brief moments, his three disciples saw him as he truly is. Have you ever had the feeling that there's more to reality than what you see? That even if we could just peel back a little bit of the surface, we would glimpse something greater? There are stories throughout history that tap into this longing of thinking of peeling back and seeing something more. That idea of there being a deeper truth than just beyond the veil. Doris and I bumped into that this week as she was preparing some music to be playing over at Avamere a few minutes after we have our time of fellowship here. And she typed an email to me and said, "Pastor, one of the hymns that I've been practicing is the same hymn that you planned for us to be singing over there. And this isn't the first time." And then she added, "I think there's something more going on here." And I said, "Amen, sister, amen. Wait, we're beginning to be a little bit more Pentecostal all the time. I'll tone it back down." A deeper truth beyond what we see. History has many examples of this. The story, The Looking Glass, Alice in Wonder, where Alice steps through the mirror into a strange and wonderful world. The Chronicles of Narnia, where a simple wardrobe becomes the doorway into Aslan's kingdom. Or Stargate, where an ancient portal leads to a universe beyond our own. And then there's The Matrix, where Neo is given a choice to stay in his illusion of normal life or to wake up to the real world. Each of these stories carry a deep truth. The world we see is not all that there is. There's a greater reality to be revealed. And on this day, on that mountain, it was Jesus being transfigured. And his disciples got just a momentary glimpse of just who Jesus really was. And there's more to this. They went up the hill thinking that there would be just some quiet time in prayer. We'll write a piece of music. We'll light a candle and just feel wonderful in this time of prayer. But instead of a moment of prayer, the veil is pulled back and they see Christ as he is. They weren't stepping into a fictional world like I've referred to in all these stories. No, they were stepping into the ultimate reality. And once they'd seen that glory, they would never be the same again. So on the mountaintop, Jesus' true identity shines through. Luke tells us that as Jesus prayed, his appearance changed. His face shone like the sun. His clothing itself became dazzling white. And you notice how I planned that properly by wearing a white shirt today. Hopefully it's dazzling white Roger, could we adjust these spotlights just a little more? I need a little more shine off my forehead and brightness on my white shirt. Yeah, yeah. So in this brief moment, it's as if time and space folded. Heaven broke through. And the disciples had walked with Jesus for years by now, and they saw him on this mountaintop in his true form for the very first time. One of those times when you and I have been dealing with a math logic problem, working it, and finally it's like, I get it. This was one of those moments. Here's Jesus, radiant, glorious, divine. And this moment reminds me that when Neo, in the story of the Matrix, he finally sees the truth. And looking back his life, all his life, he thought he understood reality. And yet when his eyes were opened, he realized that there was something far greater at work. Jesus has always been the Son of God. He didn't suddenly become glorious on the mountain. Rather, it was finally that his glory had been there all along, but finally peeled back that veil and showed itself in its full glory. The disciples saw what had been true all along. And in this, we need to ask ourselves, do we see Jesus as he truly is? Not just as a wise teacher, not just as a miracle worker, but as the radiant Son of God. If we truly see him, if we glimpse his glory, we don't walk away from that moment or those moments unchanged. There on the mountaintop, Moses and Elijah, they appear with Jesus. They are blending, the three of them, of the past, the present, and the future. The vision that was shown on the mountaintop didn't stop there just with Jesus lighting up and being bright white. As the disciples tried to comprehend what they were seeing, the two figures appeared, Moses and Elijah. And in this moment, I think of the Chronicles of Narnia, where time itself bends and people from different eras are brought together for a greater purpose. On the mountaintop, here's Moses and Elijah with Jesus. They are figures from the distant past. They stand there in conversation with Jesus. Why were they there? Because they represented the entire story of God's plan. You have Moses, who represents the law of the Old Testament, the foundation of Israel's covenant with God. God saying to them, I will make you a particular people. Here are my rules for that. Elijah represented the prophets who called people back to God's ways. Here's how to live it. Here's what to do. And with Moses and Elijah, there is Jesus, standing between them as a fulfillment of both, bringing together the past, the present, and the future together in God's ultimate plan of salvation. And what are they talking about? They're talking about Jesus' upcoming departure. And it's interesting because Luke uses the word that we find in the Old Testament. The book of Exodus is named after this word. They're talking about Jesus' exodus from where they are now to when he walks into Jerusalem, his upcoming departure, his journey to the cross. And here's another moment where the disciples must have been shaken. Here was the glory of heaven shining before them, yet the conversation was about suffering and about sacrifice. For the disciples, they wanted to stay on the mountain. They wanted to stay there in the shining glory of God. Let's remain here. Let's even build shelters so that we can do so. But Jesus was preparing not only to walk off that mountain into the valley again, but also to walk through the valley to the cross itself. I think we find ourselves a lot like Peter. Often we want to hold on to those mountaintop moments where God feels so close to us in those moments. We just want to stay here and bask in the light of this. And yet God's plan is not to leave us there. No, not at all. No, his plan is for us to be transformed by that mountain experience so that we can take that experience back into the valley, into the world that we live in. On that mountaintop, we hear the voice of God, and it's a reminder that God is always near. There's the cloud. And in Scripture, clouds often represents God's being there, God's presence. And just as God appeared in a cloud to lead the Israelites through the wilderness, here God descends as a cloud. He also, on Mount Sinai, appeared as a cloud speaking to Moses. But from this cloud, on this mountaintop, God speaks, and his words are, "This is my chosen one. Listen to him." No ordinary moment. This was the very voice of God speaking about who Jesus was and is. Think of how in the movie The Matrix, Morpheus says to Neo, "There's a difference between knowing the path and walking that path." The disciples knew Jesus, but they were being told to truly listen to him. Not just hear his words, but let those words shape their lives. And this is where it hits home for us. Because we live in a world full of noise. Social media, news, entertainment, the endless voices that tell us what we should be and what we should believe. And here, God's voice reminds us there is only one voice that really matters. Listen to him. Are we listening? Are we tuning out the distractions, those other voices that are all around us? And are we making room to hear Christ's voice for us? So coming down the mountain, as suddenly as this special moment began, it now ends. Moses is gone, Elijah is gone, the cloud is gone, the voice has spoken, and now it's just thin air. The dazzling light has faded. The disciples are left with Jesus alone there. The moment of glory is over, but really the journey itself has just begun. And for us, this is the key to the transfiguration. We're not meant to stay on the mountain. We are meant to have such mountaintop experiences, and those experiences are to transform us. That we leave those places, those special times, and we move back into the valley. It's in the story of the looking glass where Alice steps back into the real world after having been absent from it, and she is changed. In The Matrix, Neo leaves the illusion behind and walks forward in truth. In Stargate, those who go through the Stargate, that portal, return with a new understanding of the universe itself. And in the same way, when we encounter Christ's glory, when we come back down the mountain, we don't look the same. We don't think the same. We don't behave the same. It's as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18. where he says that we are being transformed into Christ's image with ever-increasing glory. What God has started back then in your life, in my life, God's not finished yet, and we are changing day by day in order to reflect God's glory, God's light. So we're going to have to really up the wattage of these lights right here, just so I'm really glowing every time we flip that light switch on. Right? I'm thinking there's some dissension in the audience here. Not everybody's agreement on that one. That was a really weak, right? Okay. So here's the invitation. How is Jesus revealing himself to you in your daily life? And when he is revealing himself, are you paying attention? Are there comforts or even distractions that might be keeping you from fully embracing God's truth? This is my chosen. Listen to him. In the midst of all the noise around you, how often do you pause to seek Jesus' direction and guidance in your life? Are there ways that you can reflect Christ's love, where you can reflect Christ's truth to those around you this week? Are there some particular relationships, conversations that you have with family members or coworkers that you go, I really need to see God at work in this situation? Because it's in those situations where you can show the biggest reflection of Christ's love and Christ's truth. Peter, James, and John left the mountain forever changed, and so must we. Because we see Christ's glory, we cannot live as though we haven't seen it. We must step forward, and we ourselves be transformed by what we've seen into the reality of God's kingdom right here and right now. And that's all I have to say about that.
Next is the hymn, The Children Come.
Seen their siblings die. They've tried.
Next is the hymn, Let Us Break Bread Together.
Mountaintop is for a moment. The world waits. Our service begins now. So go to serve the world with courage. Love God. Love one another with abandon. Run from this place into the arms of the Savior who waits for you. Live in the grace of God and the fellowship of Holy Spirit. May you always be upheld and uplifted. Now and forever. Amen.
As we head out the door, we sing this beautiful hymn of faith. Oops. I had a benediction. You could read along with it. Oops. Let's sing together.